This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know what that means, Bob. It's time to hop on board because the Limitless Express is leaving the station. The 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And the time is 11:40, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Limits, the floor is yours, my friend.
All right, let's start it off, guys, with the most controversial topic at the NFL owners' meetings, which is the tush push. There is a large group of teams that is for banning the tush push. The Steelers are included in that group, and there are also a large group of teams, of course, led by the Eagles, that want the tush push to stand and continue. I know that, Bob, you are heavy against the tush push. Are you surprised that the Steelers are in lockstep with you?
No, not necessarily. I think they understand it was an innovative play, and you know, I don't think they want to tax innovative plays, but my only question to that is why then on a blocked field goal you're not allowed to do any kind of pushing or jump? You know, they make it one way citing safety, the other way it goes against what the previous rule for that is. So I mean, regardless of what I think, it's going to be here. I don't think they're going to change this rule at all. Seems like it's been tabled for now, and I think it's a direct indication that the league does not like the fact that the Eagles and more lesser extent the Bills have come up with a way to convert these things. If their percentage was 47%, not 87%, I think the league would, you know, not have a big problem with it. But I think those other teams do have a problem with it. Give them credit for being creative, but it's not consistent with the other rule about blocking field goals.
So let me get this straight. The big, bad, tough, nasty Pittsburgh Steelers are against the tush push. How about find a way to stop it? Or as Ray Fittipaldo wrote today in the Post-Gazette, find a way to do it. Last year, they had a 6'3", 230-pound quarterback who could come in at any time in Justin Fields. They could have put Mount Washington and anybody else behind him, Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren and Mount Washington with that quarterback behind Zach Frazier. Why didn't they do it? They did it in like a half-assed way a couple times, but they were mostly a lousy short yardage team that cost them games. And now they're voting against this? I don't get it, Bob. I don't see a problem with the play. It's not applicable to field goals for me. It's more applicable to what we see when a guy like Jaylen Warren gets the ball on the goal line and, you know, he's heading toward the goal line and 17 teammates come up and start pushing him from behind. That happens with every team. Why can't you do it at the line of scrimmage? I don't understand it. All these teams are crybaby, whiner, soft for this, for voting against it. I'm glad it got tabled. I'm glad it looks like it has a chance to stay. Stop it if you don't like it. Or better yet, copy it.
I fully agree. I with you, Joe. I think that the innovation that was created in this, and a lot of the things that Tomlin and others have talked about, is does it look like the field goal block play and the player safety element of it? I feel like there are probably some teams that are claiming player safety when they really think that the rule is just one that they can't stop and they want an excuse for it. And they want
Crowley.
And the thing is, there was no injury.
No injuries. Zero. That is such a crock to even bring up the player safety. So the alternative would be to turn the ball and give it to your running back on short yardage. That's safer somehow? What?
I think it's just the fact that there are so many bodies piling on top of each other and the idea that, you know, knees
that's
could
football.
Buckle. Or
yes, that's football limits in a nutshell. Bodies piling on top of each other. Get out of here with this, Bob.
Come on,
the
Bob.
The Steelers are voted against this? Come
yeah,
on.
I was surprised. I thought they appreciated the innovation part of it.
How about Tomlin saying it's a very innovative play? They've definitely taken big steps towards innovation that compared to what we have done. Basically admitting, yes, we are not a very innovative organization that come
well, it's
up
just
with
like Kansas City coming up. Remember that whirling spinning huddle that they had?
And you're wondering
what are they doing? But they're just trying to figure out ways.
I mean, of all teams, the Steelers have publicly stated that their goal is to build a rugged, in your face, smash mouth offense. That's why they've drafted an offensive line and running backs and everything else, and they can't get a yard. They can't get a yard when they need one, and it's a recurring problem that came up again last year.
And
it's just really mind-boggling.
Matt LaFleur said the tush push isn't a football play.
Now, what is it then?
What?
A hockey play? What does he mean by that? It's not a football. What does Matt LaFleur think about when one of his running backs is at the 1 yard line and there's a rugby scrum and everybody's pushing him from behind? How is that different?
It really isn't different.
So,
next,
whatever.
The Lions' proposal to eliminate an automatic first down on defensive holding and illegal contact penalties, which is currently the case, did not pass. So the Lions wanted to, whenever there's a defensive holding, 5 yard penalty, illegal contact, and it's automatic, they wanted that to be eliminated. The league did not agree.
Bob, I wasn't aware of that. I should have been. I'm totally in favor of that. I think those little cheap holding calls should be just a 5 yard penalty and not an automatic first down. I commend the Lions and their kneecap eating head coach, Dan Campbell.
I think there has to be a little bit of a subjectivity to some of these calls, and they're not always the same. So that's all they're trying to do.
Right.
Is make it
5 yards. Make
realistic.
It 5 yards. Yeah. Not an automatic first down. I hate when it's third and, you know, 18.
Yeah, and they get a slight holding and it's an automatic first down. So I agree with that, but the league obviously doesn't.
Well, they're stupid. Next.
I feel like there are a lot of illegal contact penalties that are just, you know, a couple of touches here and there. Like the whole defensive holding, I can understand. Illegal contact, yeah, that should just be a 5 yard penalty. The onside kick amendment is going to be adjusted and voted on later in May as the league tries to figure out what they're going to do with the onside kick, with touchbacks on kickoffs now bringing the ball back to the 35-yard line as well.
That's big, and that's the way a lot of us thought it should have been last year. We spotted it right away by saying that's not a penalty in any way to have the ball come out to the 30. Like, that is not punishing. Teams are just going to kick it out of the end zone anyway. And that's what they did. So 35, now you're getting close to teams really saying, all right, let's try to kick it in play and try to make a play before the 35. I think the 40 would be ideal, Bob.
Listen, to be honest, they want both sides of this. They want exciting returns, but they don't want exciting returns. So they're trying to figure out a way. But honestly, the best way to do it is just move the kickoff back and have a return on every play. Then it's up to your special teams to get the job done. But they're citing, you know, injuries as a reason for that. Everything is about injuries.
But
if you really want the play to exist, then go back to the way it was. Or move the instead of where they're kicking it, move it back 5 yards or 10 yards and say, okay, now we're going to get a return.
Just go
and
back.
You have to stop the return.
Yes, I agree. Just go back to 1975. The league is twisting itself into a pretzel under the illusion that they care about player safety. I mean, this has gotten ridiculous here. They don't care about player safety. They care about presenting things like this in case they're in a courtroom someday. See what measures we took to protect the players. Yeah, while you were arguing for an 18th game in the regular season, while you were having three games on Christmas Day with 3 days of rest, get the hell out of here, Lemon.
And that's what I wanted to bring up next. There will now, instead of just two, which was on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, whatever it was, be three Christmas Day games this year, which will all be on a Thursday.
But we care about player safety. And you can see it in the way we're doing the dynamic kickoff. Bob, I've had enough of NFL hypocrisy with this.
Here's one rule I would want to see changed. And the Christmas stuff, it was bound to happen, Austin, because they make too much money.
Well,
plus, there's
Bob.
Every Thursday night game. But, right. But then don't pretend right. You care about player
but
safety.
But here's one rule I wish they would change. And that is when an offensive team fumbles the ball into the end zone, it goes out of the end zone.
Oh, I hate that rule.
I hate that. It should not be possession defense. Not at all. It should be back to wherever that play originated, and you lose it down, and they didn't recover the football. It went out of bounds, out of the end zone. Therefore, give it back to the offense.
I disagree with every syllable you just uttered.
Just I know what Joe's going to say. He's going to say,
I don't care because I think it's a bad play and it's a bad rule.
I know what you're going to say, Joe. Yes, I'm going to predict it. I think you're going to say that the end zone is hallowed ground and it is different compared to the other 100 yards on the field.
No, I'm going to say the end zone is hallowed ground and is different from the other 99 yards on the field.
There it is.
And it is. If you cross that goal line, you get 6 points. So if you fumble across that goal line, it should be a way bigger penalty than, no harm. You just get the ball back at the spot of the fumble. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No.
You lose it down, obviously.
No, it's hallowed ground. He's exactly right. Things happen around the goal line.
I just don't like that rule.
Big.
I never have. They didn't recover it. So if you recover it, it's one thing. You get the ball back out to the 20-yard line, wherever. If you don't recover it, nobody had possession, which means it goes back to the offense.
You get into the end zone.
That's the way I like it.
You get 6 points on the board. You fumble out of the end zone. You lose the ball. Okay. I'm sorry, Bob.
Well, no need to be sorry. That's just the difference. I don't like that rule.
Are you going to talk about the first downs and the technology therein?
Yes, that was coming up next. We're rolling through all these rules. So there will now be... So replay assist has also been passed to basically be further utilized for certain things. And now technology, the chain gang
is further utilized for the Chiefs is what you meant to say, but go ahead.
The chain gang is basically now secondary. So they're still going to be there, the guys with the chains that'll measure everything.
Yeah.
But first downs will now be judged based off of technology with this expanded replay assist.
It's about damn time, Bob.
There's a song like that. It's about damn time.
Of course, it's too late for the Bills, who had Josh Allen clearly get a first down in Kansas City. They may have gone to the Super Bowl, and now they changed the rule.
Maybe that was the genesis of this whole thing.
It may have been. I mean, what are we doing? We went to the year 2025 with a plastic chain, two plastic markers and a chain link to measure first downs when we can send people to Mars or Uranus, Bob, in 10 minutes? What are we doing?
Yeah, well, it's just about time. And the good thing for the people who operate the chain gang, they're still going to be involved. They're on the field as a secondary source. So they get to be right where they are, and that chain will still be there.
Finally. And Doug Whaley was explaining this earlier today on his weekly appearance with the Morning Guys, that it's basically a video situation, that everybody would be aware of what's happening, you know, and they'll be able to get it down to the millimeter. The same way they do... And it might be different technology, I don't know, but the same way they do in tennis, right?
Yes, tennis has been great with it.
Well, I don't understand. There's a line in football, too. So get it right in the end. Of course, again, it's too late for the Bills. Next.
The Steelers' proposal to allow for Zoom calls during the legal tampering period, as well as visits ahead of the start of the new league year, has passed, which Albert Breer calls a significant change to free agency and how communication will be for players.
I like that. It makes sense. They're doing it anyway, most likely. They're talking to agents. Now you get to talk to the player. What's the difference? I'd rather talk to the player than the agent. You can do both.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
both.
I have no idea what Albert Breer is talking about. And as I said the other day regarding this, if there was a gauge to measure how much I care about things, this wouldn't even represent a zero on that gauge. I couldn't care less. I don't even understand it. I don't care. They all talk behind the scenes to anybody they want anyway. And I have no idea what Albert Breer's talking about.
Like when Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford just magically met at, what was that ski resort in Utah?
Right. I mean, Bob, I don't even understand this. I don't want to talk about this rule change anymore.
Yeah, the legal tampering in and of itself sounds suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, of course it
right.
is.
Right, of course.
Legally tampering.
Anything
sure.
else?
One more. The Lions' proposal to reseed the playoffs based on total records was tabled, according to Diana Rossini. I think it eventually got shot down. I'd have to further confirm
that. Yeah, I think
that.
So.
Yeah, I think it did.
Well, go ahead.
So basically what they wanted to do is make it similar to other playoffs around sports where the top records are the ones that ultimately get seeded. So the Lions, who obviously were a 5 seed and were a wild card team, or not the Lions, Minnesota, rather, were one of the teams that was a wild card team that had one of the best records. It would have been different. They wouldn't have been a 5. They would have had a home playoff game based on having one of the 4 best records in the NFC.
No. It devalues divisions. The only rule I'd like to see regarding that is if you finish below 500 and win your division, you don't get a home playoff game. That's the only stipulation I would make. Otherwise, if you win your division, you deserve a home playoff game. And for the wild card teams, too bad. Win your division.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable you just uttered. Yes, I agree.
You agree, Limits?
I do. I still think that winning your division, even if you are 8-9, which it does happen occasionally, but there should still be a value on divisions. And in looking at other leagues, like look at the MLB. They took away a lot of divisional games to be able to play. All the NL teams will play all the AL teams. The NBA, they have divisions, but, I mean, who cares?
Nobody cares. Well, wait a second. Then you guys, at least you, disagree with my stipulation that if you have a losing record but win your division, you have to go on the road. Do you agree with that, Bob, if that were to happen?
If you win...
You win your division with a losing record, you don't get a home game.
I could live with that. I don't think you really deserve one.
No, I think if you win your division, you just still get a home game.
Thank you, Limits. Anything else?
You're welcome. That is all. The Limitless Express vault today is closed.
Bob, I thought that was a good one today.
Yeah.
Did you?
You need a vault sound closing. That's what you need.
Yeah, you really do.
Just to finish it all up.
Of course, if it comes off certain websites, you're not allowed to use the vault closing. Limits, I thought that was outstanding. It was fast-paced. It was entertaining. It was lively. And we disagreed from time to time. I think that's the way that the Limitless Express was designed. Do you?
Fully agree. That'll be our vault
closing.
That'll
be the close.
No,
yeah,
no.
That'll be the close.
We can't do that every day. No.
A dying sheep. Where'd you get that?
That is you yawning
it's
from
every day.
Last summer.
What are we talking about?
Bob,
it's every day.
Does that sound more like a baby whining on a 5 a.m. flight, a dying sheep, or C, other? Let's hear it again.
It sounds like a cat in a microwave, as someone once said.
It sounds like a sheep to me.
It's a terrible sound.
Oh, cat in a microwave.
Cat in a microwave?
Well, I mean, you're trying to get me to describe what
now
I just
that,
saw.
Now
I don't
feel
know.
Horrible, because imagine that, and then listen to this.
Jeez, cat in a microwave.
I know. Who said that? Somebody said that once in regard to, I forget what it was.
Yeah.
But honestly, Joe, you can do that outside of the studio, you know. If you really have to do that kind of yawning.
Not really, because it happens spontaneously. And I'm sure Ron misses it. Coming up next, Dan Sant. Yes?
Could I give you one
breaking
quick
news?
Thing? Yes.
What?
Yes. Do you want to tease it or do you want to take it to Zangrilli? This is a Pirates-related thing.
I want to tease it. The old radio tease, Bob. How do you like that?
I think that's great. That keeps people going.
Here's the tease. Someone new is taking ground balls at first base.
Oh, no.
Who is it this time?
And is this one going to be a 5'4 first baseman or 5'9?
No, this is a real banger
like
in the household here.
Oh, my goodness.
Who haven't they tried?
Well, you know what? I want to do this right now. Let's guess, Bob. I'm going to guess someone new.
I'm going to guess Brian Reynolds again.
That's not... Brian Reynolds wouldn't be new, though, I don't
think.
Did
you say new?
New.
New.
Someone new.
Okay. Oh, my God. I'm going to say McCutcheon.
I'm going to say no. He can't. He was not even in the lineup again today. This is three straight games. He's not in the lineup, and all he does is DH.
I know. I'm just guessing.
Okay, I'm going to say Tommy Pham. Why not?
Bob, your point is correct, but Joe is correct. Andrew McCutchen is taking crown balls at first base, according to a video posted by Noah Hiles in Tampa.
This is Jason Mackey's dream come true. He wrote about this like a year and a half ago. And I said, Andrew McCutchen at first base, have you lost your mind? Looks like he was right. And looks like I was right, Bob. And you reprimanded me.
No, I just, I can't believe it's come to this. Honestly, they...
You can't believe it's come to this. They have a guy who appeared out of nowhere named Valdez, who is 5'9", who played it last night.
All it took, really, was to go out and spend some money on a legitimate first baseman. And then you don't have any of these
problems. Well, they did bring in, to be fair, they brought in Horwitz.
Okay.
And he got injured.
But again, I'm talking about someone who has a little bit more track record than Spencer Horwitz.
So am I. Yes, I agree with that. They should have brought in a real first baseman. All right, so let's play a little game. People who have taken grounders at first base since the end of last season. You go first until we run out, and the last person standing okay. Like musical.
Ryan Reynolds.
Just Brian Reynolds.
Okay.
Now somebody else goes.
Andrew McCutchen.
DJ Stewart.
Jared Triolo.
Andy Rodriguez.
Matt Gorski. We're running out, aren't we?
I know.
I got two
Joey
more.
Bart?
I
don't know if he did or didn't.
No, he has. Derek Hall.
That's right. Hall & Oates. I forgot about him.
Valdez.
Scantling.
What's his name?
Emmanuel Valdez.
Emmanuel Valdez.
Derek Shelton? I don't know.
Anybody else? Limits?
Will Craig, maybe?
Will Craig back.
Will Craig. I think
that's it.
I think that this team's plight, their self-imposed plight, might be best encapsulated by the first base, by who's on first.
Oh, wait. I think Billy Cook and Nick York were
on first. Billy Cook and Nick York.
They did it, too. You know, honestly, I don't know why those guys aren't up here right now.
Perhaps the better question is who hasn't taken grounders at first.
Those two guys were prominently acquired. And I think they have a lot of talent. They sound like they're ready to take this step. Why not?
Well, the guy who played last night, Valdez, I'm serious about that play. It was one where Harrington fielded the ball and almost fell, but threw it. And the kid is 5'9". If you have an actual first baseman over there who can reach a little bit, that's an out.
I'm taller than him.
Do you agree, Bob?
Yes. But, I mean, I don't even know. You know, I didn't hear any plans of his being on this roster at all, and all of a sudden he's there. I just think that's something you can solve. And again, going back to the offseason free agency, they didn't do enough. They had something potentially to wrap their hands around, which was Skeens, and a promising potential young staff, and yet they didn't do anything to help it. So